Bibles to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. We're just going to look at a few verses there for these few minutes together. Colossians chapter 1. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about those poor lepers over there, and we were pretty rough on them, I thought. Some of the friendliest and the most thankful people I ever met was when we went to a leper colony in Africa. "Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming to see us," they said. And when they stretched out their hands, bloody with rags wrapped around the little nubs of their, what was left of their fingers, they so gently took their wrist to shake their hand, and just couldn't help but think what the Lord did when he touched a leper. Huh? We learn about the will of God by the lepers, and if you're willing, you can make me whole. And we learned about worship this morning. We didn't touch much on it, but I'll remind you that that 1 out of 10 lepers, he turned back when he saw that he was cleansed and healed, and with literally a megaphone voice, gave thanks to God. Huh? We have a lot to be thankful for, and we want to do it with a loud voice, don't we? I have a microphone. I can really do it with a loud voice, but we can all say from our hearts, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free." Well, that's the beginning of what God has done in our lives, but what's the end result? Let me take you to Colossians chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 24 through 29. We're going to major just on verses 27 through 29, but just for our connection. Colossians 1:24, I'm reading in the New King James Translation, and it says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints." Verse 27. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." And we trust that God adds his best blessing to these few words that we've read from Colossians. Let's pray once more together. Our Father, we pray that the things we've read from your word will be impressed upon our hearts and change our lives forever, we pray. And make us thankful people and help us to speak it out loudly. And we thank you, Father, for the things that we'll share together today. We ask that you would be honored and glorified in all things, for we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this really centers on the ministry of Christ. And as you look at the Apostle Paul, he speaks as the messenger that he had a particular fulfillment to accomplish. And you noticed it in verse 24 and also 25. He said that he was rejoicing in his sufferings. And you think, really? I don't know if I'm at that point yet, but the Apostle Paul was there because it was the way and the only way he could get to know the Lord better, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. But he mentions here that in his sufferings he would fill up what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ. And we think, how could that ever be? Well, he certainly is not speaking about the atonement that Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross. I was listening on the way over, jumping from one station to another, and when it hit the news hour, of course, we're reflecting on 9/11, 21 years ago. And the reporter said it was an hour that changed the world forever. I want to tell you, it changed our little part of the world. But what happened at Calvary? 6 hours that changed eternity forever. We'll never forget what the Lord Jesus did, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget his agony, lest I forget his love for me. Lead me to Calvary. That's the hour that really changed my life and your life. So when Paul says, I'm filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, he's not speaking about Calvary. That was complete. It is finished, and we thank God for his finished work. So what is he speaking about here? Well, I'm going to tell you, when believers suffer to the glory of God and for the sake of Jesus Christ, that part is something that the Lord Jesus Christ also suffers. It's different than the atonement. The atonement is what he suffered for us. Paul is referring here to what we suffer for him. And when we suffer, he bears a part of that. Like the hymn writer wrote, in every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows has a part. He sympathizes with our grief and to his sufferers sends relief. Paul knew what he was talking about when he was arrested by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. You remember the greeting from heaven. The Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The Lord Jesus, he felt everything that Paul did to any of the church. So Paul here, now he says, I'm suffering and I'm filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. And everything Paul felt, the Savior felt. Everything you feel, he feels it as well. We have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, and he feels our pain. Paul not only mentions as the messenger what he was experiencing, but you know he had something else to fulfill. In verse 25, not to just fill up what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ, but verse 25 says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me to fulfill the word of God. And so the word of God still is going forth to its completion in its accomplishment that it would be the word going to all the world. We went to Psalm 117 earlier today, and our brother reminded us that it wasn't just singled out for a particular people, but it was all nations. Now the word of God is going out to the ends of the earth, and that commission continues on. It's still going forth in a wonderful way. The Lord's given us an amazing open door through ministry, believe it or not, because of the electronic age we're living in and social media. You know, when we worked in Africa, in the Congo, we had a shortwave radio we could only use when a pilot was in the air for just a few hours a day. And it could only be used for emergency purposes. Now, I can't believe it. People living in mud huts have a cell phone. And they get on WhatsApp and they get a message. And they transfer these messages to all their friends all over the place. And so we're sending messages through a video and through Nancy's Manna in the morning, all around the world, and the world is responding. We're hearing from people not only in the Congo, in Uganda, and Rwanda, and Malawi, all the way even to Australia, in the outback somewhere out there, and people are responding. One man down in Lubumbashi said, I get your video, and I send it to, he said, 407 people on WhatsApp every time I get it. Not 400, not 500, 407. I hope he finds number 8 somewhere along the way. Huh? Isn't it amazing that we're seeing God's word going forth to all the world? It started a long time ago, and it's still going on, and you get to be part of it whenever you share the word with someone you meet. Just realize you're fulfilling this part of God's word going forth. Paul had that kind of picture in his mind as a messenger for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's an important part of every Christian's life. Like Brother Uncle Dave Stifler used to say, everybody's either a missionary or a mission field. Which one are you? You be a missionary for the Lord Jesus. Tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ or something from the Word of God today, and realize you're doing your part as a messenger to get the Word of God out. Secondly, in verse 26, he speaks about the mystery. The messenger has been entrusted with the mystery. Now, the mystery is not a whodunit. The mystery is a truth that's been hidden in ages past. What was concealed in the Old Testament is now in the New Testament revealed. And there are a number of New Testament mysteries. This mystery that was hidden from ages and generations has now been revealed to his saints, to believers like you and like me. What's your education level? Well, it's not based on where you went to school. It's based on the Spirit of God imparting to you the truth. Even Simon Peter, when he got it right, one time out of 100, the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And the mystery from the Word of God, reading it, understanding its power and what he says. What is this mystery? Well, the mystery, I'll mention to you ahead of time, is Christ in you, verse 27 at the end of the verse tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that Christ would actually indwell us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ living his life in us, that others might see him instead of us. And that takes us to this last little bit. Not only the messenger and the mystery, but the ministry that the Apostle Paul mentions, beginning in verse 27. He says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the saints, which is Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory." And his ministry begins in verse 28. What kind of ministry is this? You know, we're very careful among the assemblies, and rightly so, to guard against a one-man ministry. There's no one person that should ever take all that responsibility. It's a dangerous thing to the man as well as to the congregation. We'd also be very careful against an any-man ministry, because the Lord gives different gifts and utilizes different people at different times in their lives as well as in the assembly growth. What about an everyman ministry? Well, I think that's what Paul's speaking about, but it's not the person giving out the word, but the people taking in the word. It's to affect every one of us, no exception to the rule. As we sit here today and listen to the word of God, we have a choice. I'm going to search the scriptures to make sure that this is true, and if it is true, I'm going to be responsive to it, no matter who's telling out the word. And we can get something from anyone and everyone in this everyman ministry. Look at this everyman ministry. First of all, his preaching ministry, as we mentioned in the beginning, and also verse 27. But verse 28 starts with the very one that we preach. Him we preach. Now, it may be in your translation, whom we preach. But make no mistake, it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater message than him, and he has been given to us so that we preach Christ. I remember asking advice from an older man of God, Brother Paul Logan, who had worked in Zambia for a number of years, and going around in preparation of traveling to Africa, I said, "Would you give me some advice in ministry?" He said, "Make much of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's good advice, isn't it? I've been passing on that advice to a lot of people since that day. And the Apostle Paul, he had that same plan. And that was every time he opened his mouth and every time he opened his Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ came out. Him we preach. And that's the encouragement we need to give. You know, we live in a world that's all about us. We need to get back to where it's all about him. And he is the one that we want to impart to hearers. And so it's a preaching ministry. That was the ministry the Apostle Paul had. A preaching ministry, and the message was Christ. Secondly, in verse 28, it's a perfecting ministry. We don't want to leave something half done. Now, we're not talking about perfecting like perfect or perfection, but we're talking about completion, fulfillment. And that's what we're talking when we speak about being perfect in Christ. We're talking about being mature. I'm living up to what God has entrusted to me. And I want to keep on growing and being more and more complete. This perfecting ministry gives us this everyman ministry. Verse 28 again, he says, first of all, warning every man. Sometimes we size people up and we make a terrible mistake. Huh? We go by outward appearance when God looks on the heart. I find that the most outlandish looking people are the most responsive people to the gospel. And yet sometimes I make the same mistake. Maybe you make the same mistake. I look outwardly and I say, they won't be interested. Don't make that mistake. Warning every man. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Warning them about what? Not to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an eternal, fatal mistake. And you and I have been entrusted with the gospel, the good news, that who needs to hear? Everybody needs to hear. Everybody ought to know. Warning every man. Secondly, teaching every man. And you'll notice he says, in all wisdom. So that's the second everyman ministry. Warning every man, not to reject the Savior. Teaching every man. Teaching them what? Well, not only the way of salvation, but discipleship. Discipleship, making disciples of all nations. That's the very heart of the Great Commission. Sometimes we think the Great Commission is going into all the world and preaching Christ. And that's part of it. But the heart of the Great Commission is making disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And again, that phrase, as you'll notice it in verse 8, in 28, verse 8, 28 says, in all wisdom. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's a big Bible, isn't it? And so we have the responsibility and the privilege that those who have come to the Savior, well, we need to be discipling, don't we? And making disciples. Imparting to them the things that God has shown us. That's all we can say. And as we do, we're teaching the whole Word of God in all wisdom. There's a lot of fruit in follow-up, but sometimes that's the most neglected ministry we have. Huh? We can always find somebody younger than we are in the Lord. Sometimes it's hard to find people older than we are in the Lord, but we'll save that for another time. We can always find somebody younger than we are that we can encourage along the way and impart what God has shown to us. And if they know it already, that's all the better, isn't it? A good reminder. Teaching every man in all wisdom. Thirdly, that we may present every man. There's a day of presentation coming. And wouldn't we like to see the ones that God has given us a part in their lives going forward for the Lord and going on for His glory until one day they stand before Him, that we may present every man. And we'll hold this next word for just a moment. But how are we going to be presented before Him? I've got good news for you. We're not going to be those filthy lepers like we talked about. That's not the way He sees us now at all. But He's going to present us in the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He sees us now, He sees us in our Savior. I'm so glad we were in sin, but He transferred us from sin into the Savior. We were dead, and we've been moved from death into life. And now we see the beauty of Christ that surrounds us, but one day there'll be nothing between us and our Savior, and we'll be presented in the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ, and God will be glorified. The Lord Jesus will be glorified in His saints and put on display for all the world to see, that we may present every man or every person complete in Christ, as He says, perfect. Now, I just want to think about that for a moment. Perfect. In Christ. Every person perfect. No one's going to be coming up short. We're going to be like Him one day. And when we're presented perfect, You can't help but realize there's nobody perfect. In fact, that was the problem. We all fell. But from the fall to perfection, we're presented before Him. Now that's Paul's ministry. It was a preaching ministry. It was a perfecting ministry. And I think you still have that same kind of ministry going on here. Lastly, he says it's a persevering ministry. He tells us again in verse 29, to this end I also labor striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. And so God is doing a work, and He's working through you and through me. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Dr. R.E. Harlow, with the Lord now, started ministry years and years ago in the Belgian Congo, continued on into his 90s, and at the age of 90, a biography was written on his life, and it was entitled, No Time to Quit. Somebody said, speaking about King Charles, how'd you like to become king in your 70s? I said, well, Moses said life begins at 80. Dr. Harlow said, 90 is no time to quit. Just keep right on going. It's a persevering ministry. Don't let anything discourage you or turn you back. Because this is a ministry, not that we have, named after ourselves. It's a ministry of Christ. May He be honored and glorified in all that we say and do in our lives day by day. Shall we close with a word of prayer? Father, we thank You for this little time of ministry after we've had such a rich time of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ who gave Himself for us. We pray, Father, that as we continue carrying the fragrance of Christ, that others will notice a difference in our lives and that they'll see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the mystery realized through the ministry of the Lord Jesus. We pray that You would bless all of the events that happen today with Sunday school as well as other meetings. And we thank You that we can give You the honor and glory even before all these things take place. And we do so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.